mercy and peace to God our Father, and our Lord, and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Your friends in Christ Jesus, you have certainly expressed more than once over the years I've been with you how much I hate weeds. I hate weeds of all kinds. It drives me nuts when I drive along the expressway in Kentucky and see bull thistles, huge patches of thistles. And I can't believe they let them blossom. Some people even think they're pretty. I hate weeds. But I will also tell you that I respect weeds. They're tough. They're tenacious. They persevere. Things like thistles and daisies. If you don't chop deep down into the ground and get as much of the root as you can, in 2 weeks those things will sprout back out again and they'll be growing. And they'll hurry up to make up for lost time so that they can make lots of seed to go around and plant more. And then there are things like red roots and lamb's quarters and brown cherries that if you pull them out, you can pull them out pretty easily and they pull out of the ground. But if you don't chop them up into three or four pieces, you just pull them up and you throw them down, you think you got them. A week or two later, you'll come back and that plant will be just as green as it can be. It'll be laying on the ground, but it'll have two or three of its roots down to the ground. And the doggone thing will go to seed anyway. And when those weeds go to seed, they don't make 40 or 50 seeds. No, they make hundreds of seeds. And those doggone weed seeds can lay in the ground for, I don't know, 1,000 years, it seems like. No, they're pretty tough. And that's the life is in those roots. Well, in our text for today, the Old Testament lesson, we hear these words, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner to the peoples. That passage starts out with devastation. The tree's been cut down. There's nothing there but a stump. And that's been left for dead. It's been a rock. That's what stumps do, right? Yeah. But yet that reading ends up with promise. That reading ends up with a sense of restoration. That reading ends up with a note of salvation in it. And so you and I want to look at this root of Jesse that's mentioned in all three of our texts for today. Who is this root of Jesse and what does it do for us? So let's start out. Let's talk first about the stump of Jesse. When Becky and I lived in Winchester, Missouri, we had rented a little two-bedroom house. That's where we brought Andy, our baby, at the time. Dan ended up coming into that house as well. We moved into that house, and I saw that in the backyard, there must have once been a big locust tree, because the stump was pretty good, about that big around, but it had been cut off. But I noticed there in the fall when we moved in that there were some shoots that had grown out of the stump. Well, it wasn't my stump, not my place, you know, we rent the place, so I didn't worry much about it. The next spring, I noticed that that thing had put out more shoots again. There must have been 12, 15 of them coming out of that stump. And sure enough, they all got leaves on them. And sure enough, when it was time for locust trees to bloom, all those shoots were blooming. There was life in that stump. The shoots came out of it, and they went on as before. Well, they weren't big and strong like the trunk of a tree, but there was life in them, and they went right ahead and blossomed as well. That text that I just read to you, that's got four different words in it, four words that I want to flesh out for you a little bit. It starts out by talking about the stump of Jesse. Stump. You know what stumps are. What's left in the tree is cut down. And when he talks about it as a stump, he talks about Jesse, he's talking about it being cut off and left for dead. He's talking about Israel. Israel. When Isaiah writes these words, they're about 170 years ahead of the Babylonian exile. And in the book of Isaiah, he repeatedly warns Israel that if they don't change their hearts, if they don't stop worshiping idols, if they don't stop being unjust to the people around them, if they don't turn to the Lord, they're going to be carried off in exile. And there's going to be destruction and desolation in the land like they've never known. That's Babylon. That's exactly what happened. The Babylonians came, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, carried people off in their thousands. Anybody that had a skill, anybody that was young, anybody that had anything to offer the empire, they carried them off and scattered them throughout the empire. And of course, in Jesus' day, when they would read these words, they could not help but think of Rome. Who were the Jews? They were scattered all over the Mediterranean basin. They were an occupied nation. There were legions of Romans all over Palestine. They were told what to do, when to do it, and sometimes how to do it. But they didn't amount to much. They had no power. There were other nations that the Romans valued a lot more than the Jews. And in addition to that, they had the weirdest religion in the whole world. Where everybody else worshiped many gods, and all these Jews, they worship one God. Look like a stump. Didn't look like anything great could come out of that nation. Then the second word is root. That shoot will come out of the root of Jesse. Well, those roots talks about the people, the remnant, that were still faithful to God. These were the people who still found strength in God's word and in his promises. There were people in Israel who were looking for the salvation of God. They were looking for the Messiah. They were anxiously hoping that God would send the one he had promised. So there were some, they were like a root. They were sort of underground. They weren't very conspicuous. They were there. They were waiting. They were watching. Then he talks about the shoot. I like that word, shoot. Not shoot the gun. A shoot that comes out of something. It catches you by surprise. It's sort of unexpected. Becky and I, in our bedroom, we have a little, palm plant. And it had three pieces that came out, and then the palm stuff's at the top. Well, a few weeks ago, I noticed that the one stalk had a bump on it. And every once in a while, I look back at it and realize, oh my goodness, there's a shoot coming out of that stalk. And it started out just a little sprout, and then all of a sudden had a little green on it, and then it started growing. And that thing is this long now. It's grown up out of there. Now we've got four stalks instead of three. And I don't know. I had no idea that that would happen. And when he uses that word shoot, it's the same thing. The shoot that will come out of that root of Jesse will be one that will surprise anyone. We'll catch him by surprise. Wasn't expected. Didn't see that coming. And you and I know who that is. And it's also, when a shoot shows up, it's an indication that there's life there. When a shoot comes out of a stump, you know there's still some life down in that thing. It's an indicator that life is there. And when Jesus comes, it's an indicator that there is still life in the people of God and that God has fulfilled his promises. And then the last word that's in there is branch. Branch. Branch is the promise that there are going to be leaves on the end of that branch. And if the branch is there long enough, there will also be blossoms. There will be fruit. And when he talks about this righteous branch that's going to come out of that stump of Jesse, he's talking about one who's going to make things happen. He's going to make things change. And so all four of those words, stump, root, shoot, branch, they're all pointing us to Jesus. He's the root of Jesse. He's that shoot that was unexpected. He's the one that surprises them when he arrives on the scene. They weren't looking for that. Many of them weren't even aware of that. And he's productive in word and deed. When he starts doing miracles, when he begins to preach, people sit up and take notice. The ears sort of point up. They go, wow, this guy doesn't teach like the rabbis. This guy teaches with authority. This one teaches as though he wrote the book. That's Jesus. And he's the one. He's the one that bears tremendous fruit. was there were only 120 believers in Jerusalem. Only 120. Out of the world's population at the time, it's just a drop in the bucket, a drop in the ocean. But within 3 years, there's thousands. Within 10 years, there's hundreds of thousands of people who know the name of Jesus and who put their trust in Him as Savior. He bears tremendous fruit. Although you and I know, He doesn't come into the world very auspiciously. When we celebrate Christmas in 3 weeks, what are we going to celebrate? The arrival of a great king? The arrival of a great conqueror? A rich man? Born there in a little hometown town called Bethlehem. And they don't even have a place for him to be born. He ends up born in a stable. That's not much of a start. That doesn't look like much. That's just that little sprout on the stalk. Hardly anybody noticed that. And when you think about it, at the end of his life, it doesn't look very auspicious either. Where's the last time we see him? A dead corpse. Hauled down from a Roman cross, buried in a borrowed tomb, and hastily at that, because the Sabbath was coming. Didn't look like much. But boy, did something grow out of that root of Jesse. Oh my, how He changed the world, and how He changed things for you and me. Yeah. So where does that root get its life? On the corner of Grantline Road and Mel Smith, where Church of the Rock stands, right across the road from Church on the Rock, there used to be a little farmstead there. There was a brick house which has been torn down, and there was a little horse barn. And the horse barn is still there, but you have trouble seeing it because it's surrounded by a bamboo thicket. Those people made the mistake of planting one bamboo stalk in the ground. Thought that would be really pretty. Don't do it. Do not plant bamboo in your house, or I mean in your yard. Because that one clump, given time, will take over your whole yard. That's what's happening. They're eventually going to have to come in there with a bulldozer, and probably going to have to come in there with some strong chemicals. Because I don't think they can get that out of there. It is growing. And you know how they grow? The reason that they grow? They put out roots. I know, they're rhizomes. Don't you all your biologists tell me that? They're like roots. They go out under the ground and then sprouts come up out of that thing. And every spring, just spread out a little further. Spread out a little further. I'm pretty sure that's just one big organism there. Started with the first stalk and just keeps going out. Just keeps spreading. You know what? That's what the root of Jesse did too. Jesus was rooted in the Old Testament, and the promises and the prophecies of God made. We're studying the book of Isaiah on Thursday. Oh my word. You see Jesus in there all the time. Because the Lord is giving those clues. He's leaving a breadcrumb trail and saying, here, watch what I'm doing. Watch what I'm going to do. Here's my plan. I'm working it out. And Jesus, when He comes, He's rooted in all those Old Testament prophecies. When Herod wants to know where is the Christ to be born, we don't have to work hard at that. All of His priests say, Bethlehem. Yeah, Bethlehem, because there's a prophecy that says He's coming out of Bethlehem. He's there. When Jesus comes, He fulfills those promises and those prophecies. And Jesus is also rooted in the Father's love and in His mercy. That's the whole purpose of Him coming, is that out of that stump of Judaism, He's going to bring something in the world that is going to reach out and gather in the Gentiles as well. You and me, most of us, He's going to bring life, salvation, to the people in a darkened world. He's going to bring hope to people who have lived in that darkness. And that root spread. It spreads. To this day, it spreads. when his disciples, you and me, bring that word to others, when we share things with others, when we serve other people, when we point them to Jesus. That's how it's always worked. It wasn't done by force of arms. It wasn't done by some big ad campaign. The church is always spread by believers speaking the good news to unbelievers, who then became believers, who spoke that good news to an unbeliever, who then became a believer. That's how it's always worked, and that's still how it works. We carry that word forward, and that church continues to spread. Even though some of those shoots end up getting cut off. You heard John Baptist, the axe is ready at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down. That happens too. You and I don't want to be one of those trees that gets cut down. We put our trust in Christ. We hang on to his word, hang on to his promises. And the church continues to spread those good news. New shoots sprout, they grow, and they bear good fruit. So how can you and I be rooted in Christ Jesus? How can you and I ever get deeper into him? Right? So the Advent themes, right? The first Advent theme is repent. That's John's first word out of his mouth, repent. That means you take a good look at yourself. And Advent is a marvelous time to do just that. You ask yourself, all right, what needs to change? What needs to change within me? Needs to change in the way that I approach other people. What needs to change? Because repentance is about turning away from the direction we were headed and going in the Lord's way. So that's the first thing, is that we repent, that we take a good look at ourselves and confess before God how we fall short. And then second theme of Advent is prepare. Prepare for what? Prepare once again for the good news. Some of us have heard it 8 times. Some of us have heard it 50 times. Some of us have heard it 13 times. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. There's not a sweeter message ever than that. But if we get so involved with all the stuff of Christmas, we can miss that message too. And so John's words are prepared. Keeping that God is near. You and I have one who's coming, and we want to be ready for that coming again. And then there's a third theme, rejoice. Rejoice why? Because out of that stump that looked dead and worthless, a sprout came up. And out of that sprout came a great gift, the gift of salvation through Christ Jesus. And that's ours. That's our gift. And so even as we repent of our sins, we look to Jesus and we have every reason to rejoice in what he's already done for us. And so my encouragement for you is to go deeper. Go deeper during Advent. That's a great time to go a little deeper into the Word, to make sure that you take part in the sacrament, that you make sure that you are there to worship. There's lots of opportunities during this season to worship, to be in his house and to hear his word and to respond to it with our prayers, with our service, with our thanksgiving. Go deeper. Let him sustain you by his grace. Feed you with his gifts. Anybody know what kind of plant this is over here? Can anybody identify that at a distance? Can't see that well. Well, I can't help you there. This is an angel wing begonia. My good friend, Lenita Lane, once fall, I came to her house, and out in her patio, she had these plants stood about this high. It had deep red leaves on it, and it was a very healthy looking plant. And I complimented her on that plant, and she said, yeah, but as soon as the frost comes, it's going to die. And I'll say, so I said, well, why don't you bring it in the apartment? And she said, look around my apartment. Where am I going to put that? But she said, it's okay, because I took cuttings from it. And I said, tell me about that. So she said, she cut a stem off, put it in water, put it where the sun will hit it. It'll get roots on it, and when it's got a good root ball, you plant it in a pot, And in the spring, when the frost danger is gone, you put it outside and just make sure you keep watering it. And then grow and blossom. So I said, could I take a couple of cuttings from that? She said, sure. So I did. This is now fifth generation. 5 years. I put it in the water, I put it where it gets light. Look, already I've got roots going out. That's how it works. It sprouts those roots. All it needs is water, sunshine. And you know what, Christian? That's what we need too. The water of our baptism reminded always that through that act, God said to mind. And then we sort of let the S-O-N sunshine come down. All the gifts that he gives, all the good news that we get through the season, all the looking forward to it. He's given us this great gift. So, he's the root of Jesse. He's the one that brings us salvation. So we just sort of stick our roots down in him. And as we grow, we begin to bear good fruit as well. That's how it works. There's life, the root. There's life in Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please rise?